From Spark and Anvil and Biome Forge, this is Kelp in Chapter 1 of the Biome Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Kelp floated on her back among the tall, swaying fronds, cracking a sea urchin open on a flat stone she kept tucked under one arm. And to anyone watching, it looked like lunch, but it was really the most important gardening job in the whole underwater forest. She was a sea otter tween, sleek and brown, with clever paws and whiskers that read the current. Around her, giant kelp rose from the seafloor in golden columns, a swaying forest full of fish and crabs and darting life. A younger seal kid bobbed up beside her. "Why do you eat so many spiky urchins? They can't taste good." "They don't," Kelp said, munching. "But somebody has to. Watch what happens if I stop." She pointed a paw at a bare patch nearby, all rock and spines, no kelp at all. "Over there, the otters are gone. So the urchins bred and bred, with nothing to eat them, and they mowed the whole kelp forest down to bare rock, an urchin barren. No kelp, no fish, no forest, just spines." She cracked another urchin, unbothered. "Over here, I keep the urchins in check, so the kelp grows tall, so the whole forest lives. I'm just one otter eating snails, but pull me out," her whiskers twitched, "and the whole forest topples." The seal kid looked from the golden living forest to the bare spiny barren and understood. One small animal was holding all of it up. Kelp had not always known she was a keystone. When she was small, she thought of herself as one little otter among thousands of creatures. The fish mattered, the kelp mattered, the big animals mattered, and she was just there, cracking snails, unimportant. Then a sickness swept through her cove, and most of the otters vanished. And within a season, she watched the golden forest she'd grown up in wither to a gray urchin barren. The fish gone, the crabs gone, the swaying columns gone. An old otter, one of the few left, had floated beside her in the ruined water. "Feels like we were nobody, doesn't it?" she said softly. "Just otters. But look what happened when the otters left. The whole forest was leaning on us the whole time, little one. And we never knew, because it only shows when you're gone. Some threads hold up more than their size. You're one of those threads." Kelp had looked at her own small paws, at the flat stone she cracked urchins on, and felt the world tip on its side. She wasn't a nobody in the forest. She was one of the pins the whole forest hung from.
She swam to the field station at Biome Forge at 12, because a place that studied living systems ought to understand the ones that balanced on a single thread, the forests that stood or fell on one animal's appetite. The naturalist met her by two tanks, one thick with green, one bare rock with a few urchins. Same water, same light. Why is one a forest and one a desert? Kelp pressed to the glass. "This one's got a planter keeping the plant eaters down so the plants can grow, so everything else can live," she said, tapping the green tank. "That one lost its predator, so the plant eaters took over and ate it bare." She looked up. "It's not about the water or the light. It's about the one keystone. Add it back to the bare tank, and given time, the whole forest could come back." The naturalist smiled. "Most people look for what's different in the water. You found the keystone. You belong here."
Kelp's corner filled up with kids who felt too small to matter in a huge, tangled world. A girl came in quiet and low. She'd learned that kelp forests were disappearing as the ocean warmed and otters and other keystones dwindled, and she felt crushed by it, and also felt like she was too small to do anything. "It's all so big and connected," she said, "and I'm just one kid. If a whole forest can fall because a few otters vanish, what could one small person like me possibly do?" Kelp knew that feeling exactly. The ruined cove, the sense of being nobody. "Here's the thing you've got backwards, and it's the best thing I know," she said, rolling upright in the water. You looked at the forest falling because a few small otters left, and you thought, I'm too small to matter. But that story means the opposite. If a few small keystones leaving can topple a forest, then a few small keystones returning can bring it back. Small doesn't mean powerless. Sometimes small is exactly what holds everything up. She nudged a card over. You can't cool the ocean, but you can be a keystone in your own patch. Learn how kelp forests work, protect one keystone species by supporting the people who do, tell the story right, so nobody calls otters unimportant again. Her whiskers lifted. The forest didn't fall because otters were weak. It fell because they were strong and gone. Be one of the strong small ones who stays. The girl sat up straighter.
Later, softer, she came back. When you're small, she said, in something this huge, how do you believe you're one of the ones that matters and not just one of the crowd? Kelp thought about the gray ruined cove and the old otter and the flat urchin stone. You stop measuring by size and start measuring by what leans on you, she said. That's the honest swap. I'm a small animal cracking snails, but a whole golden forest leans on me doing it. Small and world-holding aren't opposites. She floated back, calm among the swaying fronds. When I look up through all this tall living kelp and let myself feel how much of it is standing because otters like me keep at our small, spiky, unglamorous job, I don't feel like one of the crowd. I feel like one of the pins. And so is everybody somewhere. You just have to find the forest that's leaning on you. The girl was quiet, then nodded, and Kelp saw something in her lift, light and steady and quietly glad, the way a frond lifts once the urchins are kept back and it can finally reach toward the light. She didn't look like one of the crowd anymore. She looked, Kelp thought with a warm rush, like a kid who just found out she was one of the pins, small and needed and proud of it. That warm, settled, I hold something up feeling, a kid discovering her smallness was exactly where her strength lived, was to kelp floating easy among the golden fronds, the very best thing the whole forest could grow.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to kelp. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.